Well, good morning again, everybody. How's everybody today? Good, good. Well, my name is Richard. I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel Community Church. Thank you guys again so much for joining us today. And for many of you guys, you probably knew that this is Palm Sunday. How many people knew that? The week before Easter is known as Palm Sunday. And essentially what takes place on Palm Sunday is in the Bible, Jesus was coming into town and people were wanting to crown him as king, and they would lay down these palm branches and they would say things like, Hosanna, Hosanna. And that means God save us. And that was a prelude of something that was going to happen later. But after a few days, that next week is when Jesus was nailed to the cross and he died on the cross for our sins. And we know that 3 days later, he rose from the grave. He showed himself to be alive to well over 500 people. That's why we have faith in the resurrection, that the resurrection really took place. And after a period of time, the Bible says that he ascended. This is called the ascension. And he rose into heaven and he sits right now to the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And he told his disciples to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came, and this was, boom, the beginning of the early church. And you fast forward 2,000 years later, and here we are. And we're going to be talking a lot about the church today, because sometimes we can get maybe an improper or a different view on the church than what the Bible specifically says it should be about. We're going to talk today about the indispensable parts of the body. The Bible refers to the church as a body. Now look at your neighbor and say, you're part of the body. Look at the person on the other side of you, if you can find them, and say, you are a part of the body. Okay, good. You guys, well done. Give yourselves a big hand. You guys are obedient today. So we're going to be in the Bible today. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians. If you could open up your Bible, if you've got a book Bible, that would be great. If you've got a digital Bible, we accept that here as well. So we're going to be reading from the NIV version of the Bible today, and we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to start off, and we're going to look at verse 18. And it says, but in fact, God placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. We are concluding our service or our series of messages today on the Transformation Project. Now, we're not finished with the Transformation Project itself. That's going to be a year-long project. And over the last 3 weeks, we have talked about how God wants to transform nations of the earth, how he has wanted Bethel to begin a process of starting a new church in Birmingham, Alabama. And today we're going to focus in on how God wants to transform a local church. He wants to transform how we see the local church. And I just want to pray as we begin. I want you to pray this one with me. It's a very short prayer. You don't have to have long prayers. You don't have to have the these and the thous. You don't have to have big words for God to hear you. Can somebody say amen? So let's just pray together. Say, Lord, help transform how I see church. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, God uses three steps to transform a church. The first one, God transforms the human heart. He transforms you first. If God is going to transform a church, it's going to start with you. And this happens really when we get born again, when we give our life to Jesus Christ, when we say yes to Jesus, when he becomes the Lord of our life, there is something amazing that takes place. I had the pleasure of preaching on the college campus this week at Austin Peay State University. And we started to talk about how the gospel begins a revolution inside of our heart. Now, if you've been watching the news lately, you've heard a lot about revolution. Matter of fact, yesterday, almost 1 million people around our nation gathered in Nashville and in D.C. and places all over our country. They were talking about gun violence and what should be done. And if you listen to some of these kids, if you listen to some of these high school students, the language that they started to use was, we want a revolution to begin. And the thing that's powerful about the concept of a revolution is throughout history, revolutions have changed the way we see the world. But the greatest revolution that can take place is the gospel revolution. Because a revolution is a complete overthrow of a system that is in place. Essentially, a new king is coming in. And when you ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, you are saying, I need a new king. I have been a bad king. I have been a bad ruler of my own life. I need a new king to come in. And when that king comes in, he starts to change things. It's like when a new president comes in, he changes his cabinet. He starts to kick out the old people and bring in the new. Well, that's what the gospel does with us. The old thoughts, the gospel starts to attack them. And you start to think thoughts that you never thought before. And you start to see the world through a different set of eyes. And if the church is going to change, it's going to begin by you changing. And it's by the gospel that we change. The Bible says that when we give our life to Christ, He will give us a new heart. And as we go out through the rest of this message today, to be honest, if you haven't been transformed in your heart, a lot of the other things that I tell you may not make sense. So I just want to pause for a second. Anybody hate silence? I do. That's why I talk so much to fill in the gaps, but sometimes silence gives us a time to reflect. And you guys may not know this, but there is a lot of behind-the-scenes work that goes into a message. There's a lot of prayer. And it's not just in general prayer, but very specific prayers that we pray for you. And to be honest and completely transparent before you guys, this message is preached to me first, and it changes me. And that's where I get the confidence to be able to stand before you and say the things that I can tell you, because I realize that God wants to change me first before I tell anybody anything. And so my prayer today is to start off is if you have not been transformed, if there has not been a revolution in your heart, if you have not asked a new king to come into your life, if you are still in control of your life, and maybe you have never come to the place in your life where you have declared and made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, meaning that He is the boss now. Kind of like you're under new management if you've seen those signs. If that has never taken place, I believe that today may be the day where God is calling out your name. And I just want to pray for you today. If we can take a moment, if you could bow your head, close your eyes just for a second. I want to take just a moment in time to pause from what has been over the last weeks or the last years, and pause from what will be happening after you leave this room, after you leave this day and next week begins. Right now, with your head down, with your eyes closed, essentially you are here alone before a holy God. So Father, I pray even now for my friends who are here. God, there are some here who may not know You. And that song, Good, Good Father, may sound completely foreign. God, I pray today that You would open our eyes to see that You are a good God, that You love us, You have never left us, and You will never turn Your back on us. I thank You, Lord, that today is an opportunity for those who have never tasted and seen that You are good would come to find You. And maybe you're sitting there right now and I'm talking to you. And you know that you are not right with God. I mean, you just know it. I mean, the Bible refers to that as just a feeling of lostness. And maybe today is the day where you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. You want to start all things over again. You need a new manager. You need a new king. A revolution to begin to change everything about you. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. Could you raise your hand? Thank you, ma'am. Is there anybody else? Thank you, ma'am. What that means today is that you are giving it all over to Him. Your relationships belong to Him. Your past belongs to Him. And your future belong to Him. So, Father, we thank You for that in Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen. 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 Now, the second thing that God does is once He transforms your heart, He transforms the people around you. He can transform a husband and it's going to affect the wife. He can transform a wife and it will affect the husband. And He can change a child. There are children that give their lives to Christ and they become an anchor into the family. We've heard stories about that, how a child wanted to come to church to get close to God and to worship God, and it pulls in the dad. It pulls in the family. And the gospel can change, and God wants to transform even a single person who is not married. Many years ago on the campus of Middle Tennessee State University, there was a young man named Lance Phillips, our lead pastor today, and he was walking across campus with one of his buddies, and they were drinking some alcoholic beverages. Did I call you out? You drank on campus? And there was a young man named Delvin Pikes who was on the football team with him. And they offered Delvin Pikes a drink of this alcohol. And unbeknownst to them, Delvin Pikes had given his life to Jesus. He was sold out to God. And he took that 40. Anybody know what a 40 is? That's 40 ounces of beer. It wasn't a 40. I'm calling it a 40. And he poured this beer out. Now, if you go to the club, I don't advise you to do that. And what was going on in that moment might have been anger in them, but what he was doing, he was standing up to say, I don't do this. I'm under love, under new management. I have a new king in my life. I am not a part of this. And it's not saying that you shouldn't drink a drop of alcohol, but what he was doing, he was making a stance. My lifestyle is different from that lifestyle. He was not afraid to stand up and to proclaim who Christ was. And that impacted a young Lance Phillips. It mesmerized him how one man, a single man, on a college campus could be so bold. And by that stance, it began a process of him coming to Christ. See, once God transforms you, He's going to transform the people around you. And finally, once He's transformed them, He's going to also transform a local church. And He's going to transform. My prayer has been that God would transform the way we see each other. The way this part of the room sees that part of the room. See, when I grew up, I want to share a little bit of my story. Many of you guys probably know this, so just bear with me if this is boring. But when I grew up, it was just my mom and my brother. Every Christmas, every Easter, every holiday, every birthday, it was only us three. We grew up together. I have a lifetime of memories that still swim around in my head all of the time. And when they both died, a part of me, I felt like, went missing. You can imagine if your family tree had three branches and two of those branches were cut off, you can feel pretty lonely. I felt like the brother part of me and the son part of me was no longer needed. And so when my family and I, we moved to Clarksville and joined Bethel Community Church, God did something very big in my life. See, as a pastor, you're supposed to be the one who gives. You're supposed to pour out your life. Very seldom do you feel like you receive. But God began to give me something very special. See, one of the secret desires, like many of you guys, all of you guys have a secret desire. And see, the secret desires are kind of the things that I don't even really pray about, but I long for and I desire. And it's the things that God knows you so well. He knows the desires of your heart. And me and my wife, we brought our kids to Clarksville, and we realized something very harsh about the world is that when my mom died, we were virtually down to one grandparent who has 10 grandchildren. spread all around the country. And one of our secret desires is that we would have grandparents for our kids. And God began to emerge grandparents from this church. And there are people in this church that maybe even unbeknownst to them, they began to assume that role, to fill that void. And it's that little secret desire that God does. And it's like he whispers to us in those moments when you realize that he has fulfilled that desire. I've not forgotten about you. I love you. Another one of my secret desires, because I lost the brother that I grew up with, is that I would have brothers. He's given me a band of brothers. So many men in this church can look me in the eye and I can look them in the eye, and we have a bond that goes beyond just the fact that we show up on Sundays at the same place. Can somebody say amen? In the book of Psalms, verse 68, verse 6, the Bible says that God sets the lonely in families. See, this by itself should be good news, because Clarksville can be a very lonely place. People come in and people leave all of the time. And it's just like as soon as you get used to somebody, there they go. You get neighbors, and the neighbors move in, and you're like, wow, we really get along, or maybe you hate them, I don't know. But sooner or later, there they go, and they're gone. And it can feel like a very isolated place, especially if you're in the military. You move from wherever you're from, and you are descending on Clarksville, Tennessee, and you're like, you know, what is this about? It's not where I'm from. It's not where I planned. It's not where I saw my life or my family. And family lives hours or, you know, tens of hours away, and you just don't know why you're here. And it can feel like a very lonely place. But the Bible promises us in 68, verse 6 in Psalms, that God sets the lonely in families. And there's a reason why you're here today. And I'm going to use a word today that a lot of us probably don't use, but we're going to use it a lot in the next few moments. It's the word indispensable. Can you say that with me? Indispensable. You may spit on someone when you say it. We have to become indispensable to one another. To be indispensable means that you are not able to do it without the others. It means that we are contingent upon one another. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read a passage of Scripture that the Apostle Paul puts in his letter to the Corinthian church. This is a church that was a Gentile church. They were not Jews. They were in one of the most godless regions of the planet. And he writes this letter to basically tell them how to be church and how to answer problems that arise inside of the church. And he says in verse 21, he says that the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker, here's our word, are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. And while our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that the parts should have equal concern for each other. I just want to slow down. I mean, that's big for us today, that the parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices. If one of you hits the Powerball, we will all rejoice with you. Can somebody say amen? I don't advocate gambling, by the way. Now, you are the body, and each one of you is a part of it. See, the idea is that we are family. Can somebody say amen to that? In 1 Timothy, if you could roll over in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 5, it gives us a new way of looking at church family. It's interesting that when the gospel does a revolution in our life, It's like the power of the gospel was so strong that it burst through our darkness. Sorry, Erica, if I spit on you. It burst through our past. The power of the gospel gives us access to God the Father, forgives us of all sin. But it's like down to our very bloodline is completely changed, and we become a part of the family of God. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, he says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father." Younger men as brothers. Older women as mothers. Younger women as sisters in all purity. The Apostle Paul is writing to a young pastor named Timothy and giving him guidance on how the church should look. And as we look around this room, we have to assume one thing. If God is our Father, who does that make the people in this room? If God is our Father, that makes us siblings. That makes us family. That makes us connected. That means that we are indispensable towards each other. See, God can bless your life in very extraordinary ways through the people in this room. They are needed. They are necessary in your life. You know, when you came through the door, all of you should have received a puzzle piece. Can you pull out your puzzle piece? Many of you were like, "What in the world is this little thing for?" Each one of you received a puzzle piece when you came through the door. This is symbolic of our connectedness to each other. It's also symbolic that God has a bigger picture than what we can fully see. Now, from the piece that's in your hand, you can see a little bit of the puzzle. You can see a little bit of it. And your piece may look completely different than the person next to you. You might see it and like, this doesn't look very vital to the whole process of putting a puzzle together. It looks to be insignificant. But every single piece is valuable because when you put the pieces together, the picture can be seen clearly, can it? Can somebody say amen? See, as we trust God and we allow Him to connect us to other people, the pieces start to make sense. See, each piece is completely different. The way it's shaped, your piece is unique. If you can take a look at it just for a second. The way it's curved, the way it was cut out is completely unique and special and different than every other piece in this room. Only you can see that piece from your point of view. It shows us that you have been shaped by God to be indispensable to those around you in the body of Christ. You have a place. You have been fit together, made in the image and in the mind of God to fit in a certain location, in a certain space. And you have been designed to be interconnected so that the fullness of God can be more fully realized when you are fit together. Can somebody say amen? You may not see how you fit in right now. This may be how some of you have come to church. You don't see your place. You feel isolated. You feel alone, maybe unconnected. You might even say that everyone around me has pieces that don't look anything like mine. Maybe you're here today and you're like, nobody's life is like mine. Nobody's been through what I've been through. Nobody can realize the depth of my darkness or what my life is like. But even still, God has created you to connect to others. And as you allow yourself to get connected to others, you will see more fully why God connected you to them in the first place, and it will bless your life. These pieces also show us that you may not realize this now, but you are needed in this room. See, the puzzle that God placed here at Bethel Community Church means it requires you to be connected. It's part of a bigger picture that you can't see. God sees it. Sometimes there's things that happen in our life and we wonder, why did God allow this to happen? Why did God do this? It's part of a bigger picture that we can't fully see. This is where the trusting in God comes from. If you've ever read Proverbs chapter 3, it starts about trust in the Lord with all of your heart. One of the hardest things you can do is trust in God, because we want to see things fully, don't we? But we can only see a part of it. We can only see our individual puzzle piece. And it's hard to trust God. But when you get connected to other people and you start to hear their lives and you start to share your life with them, the pieces come together and you can get a more full picture of what God is doing, what He's up to, what He has done, and the potential of what He will do. Can somebody say amen to that? See, when you start to hear other people's story, and they start to hear your story, you're going to start to figure out how we fit in to the big picture. Can you show that puzzle picture? This is what the whole thing looks like. Now look at your picture, your puzzle piece. See, your piece may look super insignificant, but when the pieces come together, it's something more beautiful than what's in your hand. It makes so much more sense. You're able to see what the Creator had intended when you can see it from His perspective. And it's only when we come together that we can really magnify God in our community the way that He deserves. But what we have to do is trust that He has a plan. And for whatever reason, He made my little puzzle piece, and He made their little puzzle piece to connect together. It may not look like mine. It may not be shaped like mine. Their puzzle piece might be a different color. Their puzzle piece might be on the other side of the puzzle. But yet, God designed it so that we can all work together to bring Him a maximum amount of glory. Can somebody say amen? There's a little exercise I want to do. I've got a couple of minutes. This may sound a little weird, but I want you to take a pen and I want you to write your name on the back of that puzzle piece. I want you to write your name, not your whole name, just your first name. I would love it if everybody who has a puzzle piece could participate. I believe that this is part of a prophetic vision that God wants us to get in this church, which means this: to build us up, to strengthen us as a local church, that we are indispensable to each other. Just write your name, your first name, on the back. I know it's a little hard, it's a little small. Some of your hands are not as nimble as mine are. Some of you may actually have my puzzle piece. I put it back in and I wrote my name on it. Once you have done this, once you have written your name on the back of this puzzle piece, I want you to give it to somebody who you didn't come with. Anybody you want, somebody in this room, I want you to hand it to them. I want you to give that puzzle piece to someone in this room that you did not come with. And what's going to happen is now you have a little bit of them and they have a little bit of you. And this puzzle piece is going to serve as a reminder that they are part of what God is doing here at Bethel. When you see this puzzle piece, I want you to pray for that name. You don't know anything about them. God knows it all. But when you see that puzzle piece, lift that name up. I pray for John. God, I pray that he would experience your goodness today. You can take 30 minutes or 30 seconds. You can pay 30 minutes if you want. 30 seconds and just pray a prayer. And if we are people who believe that God answers prayers, imagine how that will bless somebody's life. Can somebody say amen? You know, when God starts to connect us, we start to see the bigger picture. You know, we have a men's group that meets on Saturdays, and I love our men's group. It meets on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock across the street from the hospital. And we get men there from, we get 20, 25, we got about 50 men that rotate in and out. And we hear stories about what other men's lives are like. And we have these guys that I talked to on Saturday. Let me put their picture up. This is Tyler, Mike, Brian, and Tim. Some of you guys know some of these guys, and some of you guys don't know the other guys. Each one of these men come from different walks of life. Each one has their own story, a different piece of the puzzle, a different path that God has laid out for them. But somehow, God has connected us together. He has connected us together so that when we come together, the problems, the issues of life that we face, we can see it from a greater picture of what God is up to. When one of these guys sees that life is really horrible right now, one of these other guys has said, I've been there, and God came through. And the story and the testimony that comes out of his life begins to make the other man make sense of what God is up to. And that God has not left us, that he's really real. And it all happens when we come together. See, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you were out there floundering, trying to find your own way, trying to make your own way in the world, and even though you could have been surrounded by a lot of people, you still felt lonely and isolated. And you might be here today, and you might feel lonely and isolated. I tell you, the only reason why someone would come in church and they feel lonely and isolated and detached and not connected, it's only because you haven't found out other people's story, and they have not found out your story. But when you find out their story and they find out your story, you're going to be connected and you're going to see how God has fit you in this church for a specific reason, for a specific season. And he says, once you had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. See, without being connected, you really can't see the big picture. You know, it's interesting about this picture. This is only part of God's bigger picture. You would imagine just for a second that what God's doing at Bethel is its own puzzle. It's only part of a huge puzzle. It's part of something big, God's master puzzle, if you will. Think about it like this. In the city of Clarksville, where would the body of Christ be without Life Point Church? Where would the body of Christ be without First Baptist Church or Awaken Church or the Tabernacle Church or Concord Missionary Baptist Church or St. John's Missionary Baptist Church, which is right on the other side of the trees? See, God placed us in our differences and our quirks and our craziness all together in this city to reflect his glory and that people would come to know his character and his goodness and his mercy and his love. And he didn't stop there. What's interesting about Bethel is we have a lot of pieces here at Bethel, but some of the pieces are going to be in Birmingham, Alabama. Some of the pieces are going to be around the world. And God's going to connect those pieces together. We got a mission trip that's going to Bolivia. Some of the pieces here are going to go and make a deposit on what's going on in Bolivia. I'm going to be going to Haiti in a few weeks, and we're going to make a deposit of what's going on in the nation there. God's got a lot of different puzzle pieces. And the thing about it is that we can participate in what God is doing all over the world. Can someone say amen? See, the transformation that God begins, it starts in your heart. It moves to those that are around you. And eventually, if we allow it, if you allow yourself to be transformed, eventually, God can transform the entire church and how we see each other. That each and every one of us are indispensable. You may not know it yet, but there are people in this room that need you. And you need them. Now, before we leave today, we've been talking about transformation. Many of you guys received one of these things when we came through the door. This is part of how God transforms not only a local church, but a city in Birmingham, Alabama. And he also can transform the world. Over the last few weeks, we've described what this transformation project does, what it can do. It's going to help plant a church in Birmingham, one of the most divided historically cities in our nation. It's going to help missionaries around the world to further the gospel of Jesus Christ by preaching and discipling people all around the planet. And here at 1885 Tiny Town Road, it's going to transform this local church. What also you don't see is there are puzzle pieces that will not be picked up today. On average, we have around 350 adults that come into this room on a Sunday. That puzzle that you have a piece of has 500 pieces. That means there are people that are still out there that are yet to come. People that are out there that need to be invited. When Pastor Lance is talking about this card, potentially, when you invite somebody, it's another piece of the puzzle that God is bringing to Bethel Community Church. Pastor Lance.